You know, I think we're living in a world that's gone crazy. You know, and there's no limits to what people will do. Truth is promoted as a lie. Lie is substituted for the truth. Right is said to be wrong, and wrong is said to be right. You know, and people are reacting in different crazy ways. Some people are in fear. Some people are fussing and fighting. Some people are just, they're just troubled by what they see is happening. They just want to end it all. You know, but believers need to look at things differently. We need to realize who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. You know, Rick Grinner in his How to Keep Your Head Straight On in a Crazy World says, the challenge before us as God's people is to keep the lunacy outside the church and our families, refusing to allow our thinking to be muddled by the spirit of the age. You know, we need to conduct ourselves differently than everybody else. You know, when everybody else is in fear, we should be able to display peace of mind. When everybody else is perplexed and has no answers, we should have the direction and the answers from the Lord. When everybody else is gloomy and full of despair, we should be able to exhibit joy and gladness. Now, I want to look at something that David said, and then I want to zero in on three words. Psalms 37, 1 through 5 in the NLT. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they'll soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord and trust him, and he will help you. Now, when David wrote this, he was living in a crazy, upside-down world. It seemed like everything that God had said to him was going sideways, and he was surrounded by his enemies, and even people in his own kingdom were plotting to take over his kingdom, and yet he declared to put trust in God. And I want you to notice three words that he used in this scripture. Trust in the Lord, delight ourselves in the Lord, commit everything to the Lord. Trust, delight, commit. We must continually put our trust in God no matter what. Then we'll just go back and read that first part. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. David was assured that if he put his trust in God, that he would live safely and prosper. And he had a whole lot of stuff going on around him when he wrote this. He had, like I said, the enemies were coming in from outside. He had people on the inside trying to destroy his kingdom. And yet he said, trust in the Lord and do good, and then you'll live safely in the land and prosper. Hello. See, you don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry if we trust God. You know, Wigglesworth said, there's something about believing God that will cause him to pass over a million people just to get to you. Some people have a problem trusting God. I guess I've never had that problem because of the household I grew up in. I had a father that, I mean, everything we did, we trusted God for. He never, ever once And of course, I say it all the time. He always said, son, what does the word say? What does the word say? So we should not fear what's around us or what's going on around us. Actually, if you've studied the word of God, nothing's going on that he has not already told us would take place in the last days. How many of you have read the last part of Matthew over there? I mean, and in one place it said it would be in the days of Noah, and other places it's talking about. And actually, Paul gives a real good discussion of it in the first chapter of Romans. Hello, anybody ever read that? We also need to put our trust in God and not put our trust in what man can do for us. Trust, we should not depend upon what resources we have. Our trust has to be in him. We have to believe him. This campus was built trusting God. As some of you know, were any of you here in 76, 1976, when we moved in that one building on the corner and half of the one behind it? And where the park is now was a growed up, I mean, it was, we had to get chainsaws and machetes to cut our way in there, and nobody even knew that there was a little pond back there. Actually, where the pond is there, now we do have water that drains off of this property that drains into that, but actually there's a spring there, and there was a puddle of water there all the time. It was wet, so we just made a pond out of it. And also when we were building this campus, we had to put underground drainage, and you may not have ever noticed it, but if you walk from the street and you got the steps that go down there and go right up, if you look down underneath there, there's a huge pipe coming out, and water from half of the campus goes into that and goes into that pond. From the other half of the campus, it goes over and goes in that ditch over there. You say, how do you know about that? Because I had to have three hydrologist companies go all the way. They went way up there, and they rained a 100-year rain on the, because there's a little creek that runs over there, and there's that where this is over here. It's another, actually, a little creek. And then they told me how big that ditch had to be out there and all the things that goes with it, you know. Well, that ditch is a $300,000 ditch. Because that's what I had to pay those three companies that did that, because the Corps of Engineers said that's what I had to do if I was going to build on this property. And then I had to pay them for that, and then they told me how deep and how wide that thing had to be, and then I had to pay the company that did that. But you know what? People told me when we started building things, people said, oh man, I wouldn't do that if I was you, blah, 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 blah. In fact, I built some of these buildings when the interest rate was up to 22%. Hello. I just trusted God. You see, there's one thing talking about trusting God, and there's another thing to do it. When everything looks like it's going sideways and nothing is going to happen, you just keep trusting God. There's this Tony Cook. He was here for 19 years. He watched. He was in, especially with this building. I used to make the staff come out here and walk them through this building. That's another story. I made them climb up on the scaffold that we had in here to put this ceiling in. Didn't I, Tony? Tony, he didn't like that much. But you know what? If I had not have grown up with my dad and trusting God, learning how to trust God, not fear, not get in fear when everything looks like it's going down, I just kept saying, it's going over. I can't go under for going over. Hello? You know, King Solomon, David's son, said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you all know it, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. That's NLT. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Many times I have to seek him to know which way to go, when not to build, when to build, when to buy property, because I just started out with 6 acres over there. Now, but you know what? When people would come and all, I didn't go out seeking any of this property except that first 6 acres that we bought. They'd come to me and say, you want to buy this? Well, it didn't look feasible. But as I was praying about it, I felt like this is what we ought to do. And so I put my whole trust in God. Now I'm talking about me because I know you don't want me to talk about you. I guess I could talk about Brother Bill, but he wouldn't like that very much. I'm just trying to show you that trust is whenever you follow God, you're doing what the Word says to do, and when everything else looks like it's going under, you still trust Him. You know, when you don't know what to do, if you put your complete trust in Him and say, okay, we're going to do it anyway. You said do it. Here we go. In fact, I said, all right, Lord. I stood in that window of my office and looked out across there. I said, you said do it. We're doing it. I'm trusting you to bring the finances in to do it. I'm not even going to worry about it. I learned that from Dad. He ain't never worried about nothing. I'm serious. I don't care if we have bills coming due. I'm 15 years old. I know what's going on, and I know that we got payments to come and due. And I said, Dad, what are you going to do? We didn't get enough money at that last meeting to take care of it. He said, don't worry about it, son. We trust God. We believe what God said. God will take care of us. You see, we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit, the greater one living on inside of us. We have the name of Jesus to use. So we need to get to the point that we can trust and know that what the Word says will come to pass, what the greater one on the inside of us tells us to do will happen, and then we have the name of Jesus to use against anything that comes against it. Too often we feeding too much on the news of the world and we're not feeding enough on the good news, the Word of God. You know, you listen too much to the news and it'll weaken your faith. It'll make you hesitant to make some decisions and it'll bring fear to you. Look at what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. I'm going to read the King James and I'm going to read it from the Message. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I like the Message Bible. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responded. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out and develops well-formed maturity in you. I don't know whether you've realized it or not, but the media, television, movies, everything has gradually got people thinking so that they just fit into the culture without even realizing that they're doing it. Even Christians are doing this. Come on now. Listen at me. See? When you listen to the news of the world, it wants to conform you to their agendas and their philosophies. But the good news of the Word of God wants to transform us into new people in Christ that walk in victory. Hello? Anybody understand what I'm trying to talk to you about tonight? The news of the world is aimed at controlling you to do what they want you to do. The good news has the power to change you to walk in the promises and all the possibilities of God. We got to keep feeding our faith daily on the Word. Of course, Matthew 4:4, you all know it. But in the NLT, I'm reading tonight from NLT. But Jesus told them, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Feeding daily on the Word, and you're ready to put your trust and your dependence in God and on God. Feeding in God's Word will strengthen your faith. Now that trust. Now, let's look at that word delight. Make God the delight of your life. I will say it like that. That's the way I say it. He said, take delight in the Lord. That's what David said, but we would probably say it, make God the delight of your life. The delight. One of the key things that caused God to move mightily in David's life, if you study his life, he continually worshiped and praised God. Have you ever noticed in the Psalms that he writes, he might write start out talking about all the trouble, but he always ends up with praise to God. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise, actually is what it says. You see, he continued to worship God. He sought after God wholeheartedly. He longed for the things of God. And because of that, he was called a man after God's own heart. David listened and meditated on the Word of God day and night. Psalms 1:1-3, NLT. Oh, the joy of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, nor stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season, and their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Their delight is in the law of the Lord. We might say it like this. They delight in the Lord, and they think about it all the time when they can. You see, everybody wants to prosper. But I want you to notice that in these scriptures that we have read here, trust in the Lord and do good, then you will live safely and then prosper. Delight in the Lord and he'll give you desires of his heart. Man, everybody wants something, but sometimes they're not willing to do what it takes to get it. David didn't go by feelings or emotions. He delighted himself in the word of God, and that caused him to triumph over his enemies and be prosperous. I remember Dad tells this story. He used to tell it in his, and I know the church he was at when this happened. Dad's having a board meeting one night, and about a situation in the church, and the deacons got to talking about it, and they got all worked up, and man, they were, and Dad didn't say a word. He just sat there, listened to them. And finally, in frustration, one of them turned to Dad and said, "Oh, Brother Hagin, what are we going to do?" And my dad, this is just him, if you know him, Tony Cook, spent many days with him. He just smiled and said, "I'll tell you what we're going to do, men. We're going to act like the Word of God's true." He wasn't fazed by the situation. They were all upset about it and going on about it. And he wasn't fazed a bit, because his trust was not in how they could figure out to do it. His trust was in God. The problem that a lot of us have is that we trust in ourselves until we get things all messed up, and we finally say, "Oh, Lord, help me." If you went to the Lord the first place, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. Now, that's not original with me. That's original with a man that Kenneth E. Hagin, and I'm Kenneth W. That come from him. I heard him tell three ministers one day. They come talk to him about stuff, and he said, "If you'd have listened to what I told you from the Word of God, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in." Because they were asking him how they could get out of it. He said, "If you'd have done what I told you to do, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in." I know what he told them. He told them what the Word of God says, but they went out and they went out and had to try to do it on their own and got the whole thing in a mess. Hello? You know, if you have some horses and you put them in a corral, and you don't check that latch on that gate, you're going to go out there and the horse is going to be gone. You know, walk in the house, "Son, did you check?" You know, you bought the horses up. "Son, did you check that latch?" Now you know that latch, it doesn't work really good. "Did you check it?" "Oh, yeah, I shut the gate. It slammed. I heard it slam." Yeah, but he didn't check it. See, he didn't do what he needed to do. You know, there are a lot of people that want to do many different things in life, but they're not willing to do what's necessary to get there. There are a lot of people that like to be an athlete, but if you're going to be an athlete, you're going to pay a price to get there. If you're going to live in line with the Word of God, you're going to pay a price. You got to discipline yourself and pay a price. You know, when I was in, especially running track, I disciplined myself on what I ate. I didn't drink any pop. I disciplined myself. Why? Because I wanted to stay in tip-top shape. Because when push come to shove in that last 25 yards of that 220-yard race, and everybody, and you're hitting the wall, that's when the extra training, that's when the discipline of eating proper and training is, you know. Have you ever heard about playing ball, have a training table? When I was at Canyonville Bible Academy playing basketball and running track, we had us guys that were on the team, everybody else in the school and the cafeteria, they didn't like us because we had a special table and we had some different food than they had. It's called a training table. Hey, here's your training table. You want to be everything God said you can be? You better pull up to the table. You better discipline yourself. That's not in these notes. God just give that to me, so y'all take it or leave it. Some people seek provision, God's provision, more than they seek God himself. Hold on. I want to say that again. Some people seek God's provision more than they seek God himself. They want prosperity, but they don't want to pay much attention to the provider. Hey, come on now. You know, we have a song we used to sing. They sang it here. We sang it here sometimes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Having Jesus and delighting in him should thrill you more than anything else in the world. Knowing God should excite you more than anything else in the world. The Apostle Paul said it like this. Yeah, in Philippians 3:8. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all garbage, so that I can gain Christ. Paul said, everything was nothing except knowing Christ. Knowing Christ, knowing God the Father, knowing Christ our Savior, knowing the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul said all of these, everything is nothing compared to knowing our Savior, our Father, and our standby, our helper, our comforter, the Holy Spirit. See, Paul had quite a few earthly accomplishments. Now most of you just think about him from his writings and his missionary journeys and the churches and so forth. But when I was in Bible college, we studied the life of Paul, and he was a very accomplished individual in his society of his day. In fact, they say that he went to the University of Tarsus. They say that he actually might have been a member of the Sanhedrin at one time. They can't prove that, but they say that could be. He was very, very accomplished person. But the things he did for God were unreal at that time. I mean, everybody talks about mega churches. Go study the churches of Ephesus. It was the first mega church. Really. And he said, all of these things are nothing. That's why he said to not think of yourself more highly than you ought. See, some people get all puffed up. That's another preaching subject. I'm going to go from there. He said, all my earthly accomplishments, and I'm going to put it in our language, my social status, everything is garbage compared to coming close and knowing my Father God. James said, come close to God and he'll come close to you, in James 4:7. Now, I got 5 minutes for this last word, commit. And I knew that this is not something people like, so I saved it to last, and we'll just talk a little bit about it so you won't get too upset at me. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust in him and he will help you. Commit everything. God is looking for full time. He doesn't want any part time people. You ever seen some people that I call them part-time Christians? As long as everything's going good, it's okay. But when things start going bad, they go to the things, other things. When we commit ourselves to God, then we position ourselves in a position to receive all the benefits. Commit. Man, that's a big word, commit. The three Hebrew children they refused to bow to the king. Now, I'll tell you what, they were committed. They were committed to God. Their faith was believing that God would take care of them, but they said, even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. Hello? Because of their commitment, God showed up. There's a song that they sing sometimes about that says, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they didn't burn. Commitment to the things of God releases the blessings of God. Now, it gets quiet when you start talking about this, because all of a sudden, you have to give up some stuff. When you commit to something, you have to give up some stuff. Everybody in here that served, I don't know about the others, but you served in the Army. I know what we did in the Army. Anybody here? We raised our hand and signed a blank check, said, I commit to defend the country of the United States of America with and up until my very life. We committed to that. And I still believe if I had to, I would still take up arms and defend this nation. I made that commitment, and that commitment's never went away. I'm still committed to this place. As my wife and my family say, I bleed red, white, and blue, but I do. But I want to tell you what, I bleed the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm committed to this. This is not just something I do. It's not just something that I talk about. It's something I live. I'm committed to it. And if we're going to be committed, then the fourth man in the fire will show up for us. If we're going to be committed to what he says, El Shaddai will show up for us. If we're going to be committed, our Heavenly Father will go into action if we're committed to the Word of God. In a world that was gone crazy, David said, I trust, I delight, and I commit myself to God, knowing that Jehovah will set me free and take me through to the other side. Trust you got something out of this today. Everybody stands up. Heavenly Father, I pray that each of us would take these three words to heart and live in line with them. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you happen to be in this place tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, or you know what it is, but you're just not where you need to be, and you need to come back and recommit your life, or you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or you need somebody to pray with you about something, ladies are here, the men are over here. As we're dismissed, you come to the front, they'll pray with you, okay? Sunday morning right here, 9:30 school of the Bible, 10 o'clock our regular service.